Did you know what I was going to be speaking on before you chose those songs?
Full disclosure is, I was told that I didn't open the email.
Perfect.
So I don't actually.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Amazing. Let's see, a couple little things first. Did you all get one of these bulletins? I hope you did. Inside the bulletin is an outline so you know when we're going to be finished. And there are some scripture passages in here as well. And the scriptures will not be on the screen. So we'll put some pictures up there, but not the scripture passages. So you'll need this to follow along. I'll keep reminding you. Now, I have to tell you that James told me that I could do anything I wanted to do for these next 3 weeks. So I'm doing anything I want to do for the next 3 weeks. I'm going to talk about something that you're all interested in. As a matter of fact, you're really interested in this. It's called me. Oh, no, not me. The me in you. You all have a me. So for 3 weeks, I'd like us to look at the me. And we're going to start by looking at me and my joy today. This is going to be a little different for some of you. So don't get upset. Just figure I'm going to think about this for a little while and maybe discuss it with some other people as well. We want to look at this whole thing called my joy. Now, we all know about joy, but we get it confused. We get it confused with something called fun. We like fun, and sometimes fun is joy. And summer's coming. It's going to be nice. You can drink tea on the back deck. You can take a vacation. The kids are home from school. Everybody's going to be pleasant and happy. It's fun. We're not talking about fun. We're talking about something that's a little different than fun. We're talking about this thing called joy. Now, whenever I want to know what a word means, I turn to Bill Mounts. And Bill has a dictionary of Greek words that he's written, and he explains what all these words are. And in his definition of joy, this is what he says: joy is transcending earthly circumstances. Hold on to that. And I'm going to ask you if you ever have heard this song. How many of you know this song? Raise your hand if you know this song. Okay, now there are some young people in here who never heard this song. Anybody know where this song came from? This song is almost 100 years old, written by George Clark back in 1920s. This is a song that you learned at Sunday school. You sang it at camp. Okay, all the people who raised their hand, for those who have never heard this song before, you ready? Just join me. I got the joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. I got the joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. Okay, we're stopping there. That's enough. Isn't that crazy? Almost 100 years ago, somebody wrote this thing about joy, and they tried to explain it was something down deep in my heart. That's what Bill Mount says in his dictionary of Greek words. He says, this is something that transcends earthly circumstances. Now, I got to tell you about Bill Mounts because I happen to know Bill. He is an ex-professor from Gordon Conwell Seminary up in Boston, and he moved to Spokane some years back, and I got to know him pretty well. And we used to have lunch together because he wanted to be a pastor. He had never been a pastor. He taught Greek for years and years. He wanted to pastor people. So he found me, and I found him, and we're having lunch one day in town, and he says to me, I'm really down in the dumps. I said, why? He said, it's just the church stuff. Now, those of you who've ever pastored churches, you know there are some issues in churches, you know, from time to time, nothing. And he said, and I looked at him and I said, Bill, did someone steal your joy? And he put his fork down on the table. He looked at me. He said, you're right. Thank you. Now, I tell you that because no Greek professor in seminary has ever told me I was right about anything. But listen to this. joy, this guy who studied Greek, and this word appears over and over again in the New Testament, this guy says this is something that transcends earthly circumstances. So we're going to go to the Bible, and we're going to take a look at some of these. These are just a few of the references, writers of the New Testament, and what they had to say about joy. You ready? First, from John, the book of John, words of Jesus, John 15:11. You can all find it on the outline. These things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Not just joy, but full joy. I like that. John 16:24. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Jesus is getting ready to leave them. This is not a good experience. And he says to them, even though I'm going, your joy is about to reach full capacity. Full joy. John 16:22. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. Imagine this. Joy that transcends earthly experiences. Joy that Jesus said isn't just joy, it's filled up to capacity. I offer you full joy, and no one can ever take it away. You want it? Is there anybody who doesn't want it? This sounds good to me. Okay, Luke writes to us about Paul and Barnabas on the subject of joy. They're coming into Antioch, they're coming to Jews, and they're explaining to the Jews that the gospel is now going to Gentiles. Not a popular message. Acts chapter 13, verse 49. You ready? And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and drove them out of their district. This is not good. But they shook off the dust from their feet against them, and they went to Iconium, and get this, verse 52, and the disciples were filled with joy. You're kidding me. How can you be filled with joy when somebody just ran you out of town? How can you be filled with joy when you've just been terrified that someone's going to take your life? You would have thought they would have let them steal the joy. Now, I want to share this with you because you've all been in the same experience. You've all had these kind of experiences, maybe not to the extent that Paul and Barnabas had, but you've all had times when someone stole your joy. I know I have. So I'll tell you about one. Now, it's not as good as Paul and Barnabas's, but it's pretty good. In 1987, my wife and I came back from Port-au-Prince, Haiti, where I was pastoring an international church, and we moved to Seattle, Washington, in order to do something I had wanted to do for years and years, run a ministry that found people who had career skills who could go to places where missionaries couldn't go and live as testimonies among the people. And I got to run this thing. I got to direct it in Seattle. And we weren't in Seattle for very long, and somebody in this organization said I should take a trip to see people who were out on the field doing this. They had taken their career skills, gotten employed, and so they said, you can go to some places in Asia. So they set me up to take this trip. So I'm going to go to Japan first, visit some people in Japan. From Japan, I'm flying to Hong Kong. From Hong Kong, I'm going to three cities in China. Then I'm coming back to Taiwan, and then back home. And I thought, well, you know what? I can handle this. I mean, I've been in Haiti, and if you've been in Haiti, you can handle anything. So this was all arranged for me, and I made the time in Japan. It was fantastic. Met a few people. Came time to go to Hong Kong, and I had to go to Hong Kong because back in those days, China was pretty tightly closed. Didn't really want a whole lot of people there. This was before Tiananmen Square. Things were pretty nasty. And you had to go to China, to go inland to the mainland China, you had to go to Hong Kong, have all your papers prepared, and then in Hong Kong you picked up your final papers that said you could take the train from Hong Kong over to Guangzhou in mainland China. So I did this. I got there, found the offices, and they said, well, you're going to have a delay here. You're going to be delayed here a couple of days. Okay, so what do I do in Hong Kong for a couple of days? Well, I heard that you could smuggle Bibles into China. And there was a church in Hong Kong who would set you up to do this. Hey, why not? So I went to this church, found this church in the subway in Hong Kong, which was a major event, and got there, and they said to me, okay, listen, this is not a problem thing. And they gave me, we're going to give you a little bag, kind of like, you know, what you take to a gym, you know, just a little bag that folds up. And we filled it up with Bibles, filled it up with tracts to read in Chinese, and they put a big Bible on the top of it. It was kind of a church Bible, like you'd find in, you know, used in the church itself. And they said, here's what you do. When you get off the train in Guangzhou, China, you just go to your hotel, which was the White Swan Hotel. I still remember the name of the place. And you just give it to the people in the hotel and tell them to lock it up in their lockers. And they will. And you bring the key back to us, drop it off in Hong Kong when you come back. And we'll make sure we pick it up and we'll distribute those Bibles. I said, that is great, man. I am going to be used of God for this. And I said, there's no problem doing this. You know, you get on the train with your bag, put everything in your suitcase, to unpack the little bag we gave you, just distribute the Bible in your suitcase. No problem at all, no problem. Get off the train in Guangzhou, got my big suitcase with the little stuff all inside it, run it through, everybody's going through an X-ray machine. I thought, this does not look good. They get to mine, and a young man calls me over, and he opens up my suitcase, and he starts taking these Bibles out of my suitcase, and he said, whose are these? I said, they're mine. He said, you speak Chinese? Read it? No. He said, you can't take these into China. Did not fit well to me. He said, well, here's what we're going to do. He said, I'm going to confiscate all these. We're going to leave them here. And when you come back to Guangzhou, which I was not going back there, and when you come back to Guangzhou, you can pick them up and take them back wherever you got them from. I said, okay. And he said, so give me all your papers, including your passport. Rule number one when traveling internationally, do not give your passport to anyone, especially in mainland China in 1987. Gave him all my papers, gave him my passport, and he walked down this long hall to the last door, and he opened the door and went in. And I thought, I am going to die here. I will never get out of here. This is horrible, and I am so angry at those people at that church who told me I wasn't going to have a problem. Somebody stole my joy. Did you ever have your joy stolen like that? Awful feeling. Well, finally he came out of that little door and he gave me all my papers back, gave me my suitcase, sent me on my way. I went to the hotel, still very, very upset. How could this be? I wanted to do this for God and for God's people. How could this be? Somebody stole my joy, just like you've had your joy stolen. How come I get my joy stolen and Paul and Barnabas just brushed it off and filled with joy? I need to tell you how the story ends. I opened up my suitcase, started packing my stuff, and when I opened my suitcase, all the Bibles were in there. It was like God said, ha ha, tricked you. Oh, it's amazing how the joy came back. We've all gone through a loss of joy. Here's James. He has something to say about joy. James chapter 1, verse 2. By the way, Pastor James has been going through the book of James, so this would be familiar with all of you from this church. Count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet various trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Imagine this. James is saying trials are not going to be fun, but they can be filled with joy. And under certain circumstances, this produces the best person you can possibly be. This sounds good to me. I just want to know how we get by with this. What is this powerful joy that is available to us that no one can take away? Now, I don't know if you ever pondered this. I don't know if you ever thought about this. If you take a look at the New Testament, you begin to say, well, how do I live this? There is something associated with full joy, with this powerful, full joy. And the thing that's associated with it is what we just sang about. It is the Spirit of God. Joy seems to be attached to the Spirit of God. And we may have missed this idea. Let me read these to you. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. The place in which they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit. I want to know, is there a connection between the Holy Spirit and my joy? And if there is, what is it? You ready now? Okay, little review. Now, you all know this, so this is not new. I'm not going to give you something new. We all consist of something. The me in us is body, soul, and spirit. That's what the Apostle Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. May the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You all understand it, don't you? You have a body. No problem with that. You have a soul. I don't know what's in the soul. Maybe your feelings, maybe your intellect. I don't know. It doesn't matter what's in the soul. And you have a human spirit. This human spirit that we are born with is an amazing, amazing human spirit. It's extremely powerful. It's creative. You're able to do magnificent things with your human spirit. Okay? Now, we have to respond somehow with this human spirit. And we respond with this human spirit by saying, well, I'm going to control my life so that the things I do are good, whatever I define as good. Or maybe because there's a dark side to the human spirit, you say, you know, I'm just going to let it all go, and I don't really care where it goes. I'll be miserable. I'll hate. I'll extract all the pain. I'm angry. We are humans with a human spirit and a human soul and a human body. Now, most of you probably have a computer at home, or maybe you have a phone, and it has an operating system. That's our operating system, our body, soul, and spirit. You have an operating system on your computer, totally unaware of it, until something pops up and says, we're going to have a rerun. We have a update on your operating system. You hate those, don't you? Do not update my operating system. It just causes confusion in my life. This is who we are. But suppose there is a Holy Spirit that can become a part of us. Listen again to a verse you know from John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Now, I know a lot of people don't like that term. That's okay. You don't have to like it if you don't. When a person comes to surrender themselves to God through Jesus Christ, something happens. It's real. Something happens to a person. It doesn't happen to their body. You come to faith in Jesus Christ, your body doesn't change. You don't lose weight. You don't look better. Nothing really happens to your spirit. You still have emotions. You still have those kinds of things. But God says something happens to your spirit. Now, some people say that the human spirit is replaced by the Holy Spirit. I have a little struggle with that. I kind of think that the Holy Spirit comes alongside of our human spirit. And we now are faced with a choice. How do we live our life? Body, soul, and spirit? Or body, soul, spirit, and the Spirit of God? Paul puts labels on these. Let me read the labels to you. He calls the first part, body, soul, and spirit, the flesh. He calls the second part, body, soul, spirit, and the Holy Spirit. He calls it spirit. Romans 8:6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. That's the old operating system. But to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. That's full joy, and no one can take that from you. I'm not trying to say that this flesh spirit disappears, but it now can be overridden. It's almost like another operating system is available. So I want to tell you a little story which had nothing to do with this, but it's a good illustration, and hopefully it will make you think about this, all right? Little story about operating systems and computers. In 1976, a company named Apple brought out their Apple computer. Most of you didn't have one of these back in 1976, but it came out. And my oldest son got very interested in computers. Don't ask me why, I'm not the least bit interested, but he really got interested. And by 1987, these people at Apple had put together an operating system, and it was called HyperCard. Now, this was the first time that a computer could ever integrate graphics with copy. And my oldest son said, you know what, we could make a game. So he contacted my third son, his brother, who was an artist, and he said, hey, why don't you try drawing pictures on your computer? He said, well, you can't draw pictures on a computer. Yeah, you can. With this, you can. So he did. He drew some pictures, and he convinced them, let's go into business, and we'll make some games. These are just going to be kids' games, just fun games, little puzzles that they could solve. And so they did. So they produced these games. One of them was called A Manhole. That was the first one, followed by Spelunk, and then Cosmic Osmo. And believe it or not, they sold a few of these. Then they said, you know, why don't we make an adult game? So they worked that out, and they came up with this thing called Myst, and they put the Myst into HyperCard, and they sold a few of these. But in the process of all this, there was a whole new development coming, and that development was this whole new system that was being introduced. And so they said, okay, you know what? Let's take this new system and kind of put it over into what we've done, and let's see what happens. So they did. And they sold millions and millions of Myst games. Some of you probably played them. Now, this always amazed me, because it was exactly the same people who did the first thing in HyperCard. Same artists. It was exactly the same people, same computer programmers, same people, all the same people. But suddenly, something new could override it. That's a good picture of God's Spirit in us. It is available to us. When they did this and created Myst, they said, well, we might as well go all the way. So they did another game called Riven and another game called Uru, and they are still making games. No violence, no shoot 'em up, nobody dies, just puzzles to solve. Been a great role for them. So here is this system in us. This is a little crazy. God said, I'm going to give you my spirit. When you come to faith in me through Christ Jesus and surrender to me, I'm going to give you something in your life that you never had before, a new way to live. The question is, how do I make it work? I think that's puzzled all of us. How do I make this work so that my joy is filled up and no one can ever take it away from me? This is what Paul wrote. I like this. How to activate the spirit system. He should have called it that, but he didn't. Galatians 5:16. I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Walk by the Spirit, and you won't gratify the desires of the flesh. Romans 8:4. In order that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk according, not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? How do you do that? Now, the day you got that figured out, you let me know, and you can come up here and tell everybody how to do it. Here's the best thing I've ever come up with. It's been working for me. Maybe it'll work for you. When you walk, you have to take two steps. Nobody walks, well, at least most of us, by hopping. You take one step and another step, and one step and another step. And I think the secret to letting the Spirit of God control my life is simply to take one step at a time. Yes, Holy Spirit, you have full reign. No, that old flesh system, you no longer have control. Now, if you've never tried to live that way, I encourage you to try it. Because somehow, somewhere in the midst of all this is something that no one can take from you. It's my joy. And it's a free gift from God through Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't you want this in your life? I've never met anybody who didn't want to live a life of full joy. It's there for us. Work on it this week. Discuss it with somebody. Put it into effect and try it in your life. I've got an amazing computer. I got to tell you this. I have an old computer that has a lot of old stuff on it. And the only way I can open the old stuff is to go on my old computer, and it opens the old stuff. But, you know, I wanted the new stuff on there too. So I have a computer that actually runs two programs, the same program, but old program and new program. And every time I open my computer, I have to decide which one I want. If I open the old program, I can open all the old stuff I want. If I open the new program, I can't open any of that stuff. But boy, I can open all the new stuff. Every day I get up, every moment I live. You want to walk in the Spirit? It's joy, full, for the rest of your life. You want to struggle with the flesh? Doesn't work out quite so well. If you've never come to faith in Jesus, start today. If you've never tried to let the Spirit of God control your life, because that's the gift that he gives you, let him. That's your joy, and no one can take it from you. So this guy that wrote that song, Joy, 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 Down in My Heart, 100 years ago, I think he had some good ideas. That joy is deep within us. It's a gift from a God we love who loves us. I leave you. Last verse, Romans 15:13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Let's pray. Father, we are nothing but your creation. We flounder, we struggle, we surrender to the wrong things. Thank you. Thank you for giving to us through Christ Jesus our Lord, not only the forgiveness of our sin, but the Spirit of God to indwell us, to make life totally different, day by day, moment by moment. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.